It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say Worldwide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We can do it right. So I don't know how they feel. I personally don't think Keon Smith's been very good since he's been here. And I've seen the potential. He moves real well for a big guy, and I don't know what his best position is. He's been on the left side. Now James Daniels, who's on the right side, a right guard. Run skills in there. And Keon Smith, and now you add Cole Strange to come in as a guard who's got a lot of starts. But you know what? One thing about this, we go into it and we hear all these things from the coaches, and they're always one thing, and then we watch a game and it's something completely different, right, as far as how they feel about. Because once a game starts, you find out how somebody really feels about somebody when a guy's not playing. You see all these nice things about him, then he's not playing. So I'm really curious to see if Keon Smith gets a start at the guard position. And then we got one that's even more important, is to find out if Austin Jackson can play with his toe problem that he's had. And obviously got bad again in this last game. So that adds to it. Is Larry Borum come in then, and Kendall Lamb probably going to be activated, and so here we are potentially going into game two already, and instead of talking about our starting five playing two games together in a row, and getting used to playing with each other and seeing everything and all these blitzes and everything, you're going to add a couple of new guys potentially the same side of the football, which is not good. It's just not a good situation. And the Patriots, like the Colts, will go after it. And same type of things that we saw the Colts do to Tua, Patriots will try to do some of the same things. So as they get set to come back, a lot of guys there watching tape yesterday and saying all the right things and hanging out and patting each other on the back and, hey, we're together. It's only one game. We can do it. We can get this thing flipped around. While all that stuff's going on, as this team comes back to work today, the coach will have to answer questions about Tyreek Hill and this domestic violence allegations that are out there from his ex-wife. And I'm guessing, I don't know, but the league has kind of, over the last few years, going back to Ray Rice in the elevator, that kind of changed things with the video of enough's enough. Who else we saw? We saw a running back. It was the Kansas City Chiefs running back slammed his girl against an elevator or something. He got booted for a while. He's been back in the league and still been a pretty good player when he's playing over the last few years. But that changed his whole career. So I think anytime the league hears about, because I have people tell me, I think they're going to go, oh, this is nothing. It's just part of a divorce. She's trying to get more money. And I think anytime the league hears domestic violence and realizes that this has popped up before with him, I think they investigate this. I do. Now, again, I don't know. Roger Goodell didn't call me to give me a heads up on this. But the bigger problem is we've had issues with him. And you know, a lot of guys have divorces, they go through them and they move on, right? A lot of them. But this one has turned into, on a scale of 1 to 10, a 15 with everything. I don't know how you concentrate with all this stuff. I mean, you're being accused. It's one thing you're being accused of missing a child support payment, or you're accused of womanizing, and she's accusing why she's leaving you. And we see that in Hollywood all the time. And, you know. But domestic violence allegations are to be taken seriously through the NFL. They found out the hard way. They got a lot of heat before. And you saw Ray Rice never came back and played. So I know this.
At what point do the Dolphins get put under some pressure here, though, to just, I would say cut him, but Joe, like, That stuff's not good, man. That stuff from that thing is.
I don't.
A lawyer can come out and say it's all, you know, none of it's true, whatever.
No, it's a he said, she said.
I know, but.
I'm guessing you know, they
it's not
don't.
Like Tyreek has had a squeaky clean past, you know, so that's kind of.
I don't think they do to your question. I don't think they. I think they let this play out.
Well, if they want it out, this is their out.
The league is gonna do a little investigation on this, get as much information. I'm guessing listen to the mother-in-law and the wife, and I guess she's done a real breakdown of every one of them.
The league is so inconsistent though with these things. Like you never.
I don't know Woody. Woody, listen,
like,
Woody.
You ruined our image.
You know, I'm going to tell you
the shield and all that.
Woody,
and,
I got to tell you, man. I disagree with you on some of this stuff. They've been hit for not being out in front of issues, and they're more than fair because they have. But now this stuff, this is not the first time they've been to this rodeo with domestic violence. No.
That won't be the last time. I find them to be inconsistent with their punishment.
Well, I don't. I mean, Woody, like, so, I mean, you know, what are you going to do? She accused him of, like, okay, you're done. Like, you've done this before, so we think you did it again. I mean, you gotta give everybody due process before.
Are they going to say, you know, you damaged our image? Is that going to be their take?
I don't know. They could, like, during this thing, they could make a call and go, hey, we're going to have Tyreek take a leave of absence. Yeah. You know, I don't know. They could do that. I saw that was one of the scenarios they could do. But yeah, this whole thing about trading. I see people talking about trading. How are you going to trade a guy that hasn't played? You know, his numbers are way down, and now on top of that, you got this, and he's got a big salary. So I mean, I appreciate all the people getting creative, like on when something happens to somebody, what they should do next.
You know, I was with you, Joe, the whole way of this offseason. I said, keep this guy, right? Don't trade. And there were a lot of people that were like, just get rid of him, just trade him.
A lot of people that said
that. And
the
problem is that I bought into what, again, I guess, what Chris and, you know, the franchise was selling, right? That they were going to make another run at this thing. They still had a relatively talented team. Now you're in such a bad situation because you stink. Right. And now this guy's got added problems. His value is, I mean, what are we talking here, Joe?
Not much. First of all, you got to get.
If you put him on the open market, what, a second round pick at best?
Woody, how you can get a second round for probably what not, all this right? stuff like, that he's going through, the amount of money?
You're probably right.
I just don't think there's value there.
Was in the offseason when he was running those track meets.
Yeah, but that's different. I mean,
but that's at the point where the Dolphins need to realize, like, hey, we're not a good team. We don't have any talent on this team. Let's trade this guy and get what we can and start to do that rebuild, whatever the hell they want to call it.
I'm with, I do think they have some talent on this team. I think some of the names on the back of the uniforms, obviously none of them played well. It's hard to find anybody that played well in that game. I can't imagine too many guys went in there yesterday and go, hey, I don't know about you, didn't play great, but I feel pretty good. I looked in the mirror and the mirror said, hey, you were pretty good when your team was pretty bad.
Like at best, I don't think this is a playoff team. Like if everything came together magically,
I agree 100%. I mean, after the way they played, the last thing on their mind right now is talking about the playoffs. They are zoned in on how much better can we get in week two. Hey, listen,
keep digging deeper and deeper into this rebuild, this roster, like whatever it is. And you just keep digging yourself into this hole deeper and deeper and deeper, you know?
Well, listen, man, I know you're jumping ahead on me here a little bit with all this stuff. First of all, Chris and Mike are on the hottest seat they've been on. They're officially on the clock. The process, if it continues the way it is right now, they won't be here very long.
It's on the screen right now, Joe. And the question becomes, how much more do the Dolphins want to get their franchise dragged through the mud here too? Right.
Yeah. But I will just say this. I mean, the Tyreek thing will be, you know, it's just on top of everything. And, you know, they're putting up his track record of all the stuff that this is not like his first time. This is with everything since he's been in town. Forget what happened in Kansas City before.
Talk to a lot of people. Do people want him gone for the most part that you talked to? Like,
I think a lot of people wanted him gone like last year. A lot of people were like, hey man, enough's enough. Like, it's just
he quit on the team at the end of the season.
He's a walking distraction, and then the ultimate when you quit, even if you quit whether you're going to win the game or lose the game, the fact you go out and you don't go back in is the worst look possible. And if you don't believe that, ask the Colts quarterback, who's now the backup, how that's still brought up every time, taking himself out of a game because he was tired. Mm-hmm. Anyway, hey, listen, there's a bunch of stuff to this, and we're going to get to all of it this morning. And you're right. They're going into week two. I'm guessing there's not a whole lot of confidence with our fan base right now, and on even if it's better, how much better can it be?
Dude, it's bad. I walked out there yesterday just to see our salespeople. You know, they work a couple of days a week, and it's just like a cloud over everyone after that game. It's
Woody,
like a depression, man.
Woody, besides that, I
you
can't
wait
even
so long, Joe.
I can't even imagine for the employees with the Miami Dolphins that work at the stadium and all the supporting cast. What do you think it's like?
Crushing, dude. You wait months on end for the season.
You get excited.
And that's what you look like.
And you got your home opener, and you're thinking nothing can mess up your home opener. And you're going, wow, we have found a way to mess up our home opener. And anyways, besides all that stuff.
They beat New England. It's amazing, though. It can turn around real quick, but.
Yeah. Listen, yeah. They're favored against New England coming in here. They're favored, and they've got some of their own problems, and we're going to get into some of that in during the show as well. We've got that. We got some Tua stuff to get to. We've got some O-line stuff. We've got a lot of stuff to get to on my thoughts on some of this stuff as we move on. And by the way, tomorrow night, if you're like, I love the NFL, I'm not crazy about my team right now, but Washington at Green Bay. Tomorrow night, Thursday
that's a
night
juicy
football.
Little quarterback matchup.
By the way, that's a good one. And they got a couple other really good games, including the old Super Bowl rematch is coming up. Can you imagine Kansas City going 0-2? We'll talk about some of that stuff. Don't say a word. We've got a lot more stuff to get to here this morning with us. Thanks for being with us. And Canes, I just want to let you know before we go to break, man, you are officially, if you haven't seen it all morning and late last night, you are on upset alert with South Florida coming down here and how well they play against big teams on the road. And a lot of people think the Florida one, they're going to find out it wasn't just Florida, that South Florida is that good and getting ready to do the same thing to the Miami Hurricanes. I hope you're awake. I hope you're not reading what everybody's telling you how great you are after two games. I hope the Canes have grown up and matured. I hope so. Atlantic Men's Clinic can help you, man. I'm telling you right now, ED and low T are serious inks. And I want to let you know, when it comes to Atlantic Men's Clinic, low T, ED disappear. Had full-blown ED and low T. Hey, why not? I'm in my 60s. Most guys do. Most guys. And I'm finding out a lot of guys starting to come up to me. Guys, as they get to know me a little better and hope when they tell me something that I won't spread the word on, like our engineer, Steph. He came in one day, and I saw him while I was in, and I go, welcome to the club. And they all started laughing. Everybody in Atlantic Men's Clinic was laughing. I go, yeah. He goes, yeah, I didn't want to say anything. I said, hey, man, Atlantic Men's Clinic, it's all right. It's happening to guys in their 40s, 50s, 60s. No energy. Low T is kicked into the level like it's just you're tired all the friggin' time. It's terrible. And then for a lot of guys, it's not just low T, and we don't like to talk about the other part, ED. Your sex drive is gone. Mine was hit and miss for a little while, and then it was gone. Nothing. I was going to bed before my wife to fall asleep, man. It was just like, oh, it's horrible, horrible. And I go, what am I going to do? So somebody here said, go to Atlantic Men's Clinic. I did. I got great results. And I've been telling everybody, listen, man, this is no joke. This works. I'm telling you, you go down. We're going to set up that first appointment. I want you to do it. I did it. Set it up. The PSA test. If medically advised, a test dose. Then you meet with their professionals. You tell them all the things you're going through, how you feel. Tell them what's going on. You don't have to give them a play-by-play in the bedroom, but you tell them, they get the picture. They'll put you on a program. It works quickly, and you are off and running. Atlantic Men's Clinic, this is what they do. Knock out ED and low T, get you back 15, 20 years younger again. 7 locations in South Florida to serve you, including a brand-new location in Hollywood. Man, I'm telling you, the first class, everything about Atlantic Men's Clinic is first class. There's a lot of places out there, nothing like Atlantic Men's Clinic. 877-455-7300. Set up that first appointment. It's the most important one. Visit AtlanticMen'sClinic.com. Folks, guys, it works.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, you know, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say World Wide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I've been saying I wasn't sure of many things going into the season. One thing I was sure of is the Dolphins were going to struggle, because I don't think this talk, because that's just talk. It's not action. It's talk. We're going to talk. Well, we're going to change the culture. We're going to do this. And it never changes. We're going to do all these things and it never changes. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. It's like the guys, I'm going to go to the gym every single day starting tomorrow. And I'm going to talk about it. And then it's, the alarm goes off and they don't go to the gym, right? It's just talk. And I feel like with the Dolphins, it's just talk and talk and talk, and they never get any better. And you throw on top of that, getting your ass kicked right out of the gates in an ugly fashion, the worst loss of the weekend. Good luck coming back from that.
Yeah, that was our Friday partner right there, Mike Flora from Pro Football Talk. Listen, they got called soft to me. We're just talking in the back as we say good morning to everybody. Being called soft is the worst thing. If you're a big guy on the line, either line of scrimmage or a linebacker, and they're accusing your team, whether it's a front seven or your offensive line, which, by the way, has been called soft for years and years and years, or not just not very good, that's the worst. I mean, you're calling them the P word, basically. When you say, oh, man, you guys got a soft team. Love, oh, my God. We run between the tackles and we just dominate you guys. You guys blitz and we knock the crap out of you guys. And we're going to get 5 yards on first down every time we run the ball, or 6 yards and second and four and all these things, and force you to throw it. And you can't pass protect because we run over you. And it's just it's a bad one. And I heard that all day yesterday. ESPN, their NFL team was just, this is what happened. I mean, look at 33-8. It was bad. I want to get into some certain things, though. I know everybody's been saying that it's day three, and probably everybody's like, all right, we know all this stuff. So the latest now is the Tua gets benched if this continues. He's not getting benched anytime soon. It's not. I can give you three reasons why. First of all, he's making 50-plus million. He was built and gives you the best chance, no matter what you think of 2 and 3, he still gives you the best chance to win. Yeah, the other two guys can run better and scramble a lot better, yes, but as far as everything and this complicated offense that Mike runs, and it is, it's not for everybody. So I don't think they're making a change anytime soon on Tua. They are tied together. Mike went to bat hard. Matter of fact, probably made a mistake, in my opinion, getting so involved when that deal got done. And Tua thanked Mike McDaniel. Thanks for galping me. And he goes, yeah, we had to have him signed up. So he got him a new contract. They are locked together. They are locked together. And so they're not making any changes for everybody. It says that the change of quarterback's coming after one game. It's not. Trading Tyreek, we just went through that. Probably not going to happen. And again, for a second year, he is definitely, no question about it, become, because of his stuff in the offseason, that now gets worse, because instead of the divorce, we thought it was done. It's not done. And now she's accused him of ex-wife-to-be domestic violence. Apparently did a breakdown of everything. Somebody got a hold of it and thrown her down, and I'm guessing the NFL will investigate. But here's a bigger problem besides all that stuff, and whether you think he should be gone or wait, it's he said, she said. I know I had some guys yesterday. She's just trying to get more money, do what she's doing. And listen, that's probably part of this. I'm not saying it's not. But those other things, like with Tyreek, when you hear that stuff, there ain't too many people going, no, that's not Tyreek. He never do that. there's not too many people, you know, when you're just doing public opinion, not the legal side of this. I just it's just a distraction. So now the team's got to send out, Ann's got to send out something on behalf of the team today, and this, and the coach has got to answer it today. And then I don't know if, you know, if they get a hold of the GM, they're going to want to know what's going on. There's going to be some people. There are going to be some women. There are going to be some women really pissed off about domestic violence that have been through it. A lot of women in this town been through it and going, and she did a breakdown under oath about all these things that happened to her. And by the way, the other part, if you want to really get into this, she probably knows now if they could kick him out of the league. I mean, this is serious. What she's accusing him of is serious, serious stuff where he could literally lose his job. And all of a sudden that $30 million is gone. There are clauses on guaranteed money. And that's one of them that she's got, you know, hey, you and the other mothers could be losing some friggin' money. So, you know, I'm sure that, hey, are you sure you want to go through with this? Yes, I feel strongly. And, you know, hey, listen, I was thinking about that. I'm sure a lot of other people were thinking about that, why she's, you know, bringing all this stuff up when we thought it got a little quiet there for a while, that it was over and we were moving on. But, and the timing of it just couldn't have been worse. I mean, not only just get your ass kicked in one of the worst home openers in the history of this franchise, worst, definitely worse since we tried to lose games when we played the Ravens in that opener, which was the worst. It was just terrible. Perfect quarterback rating for Lamar Jackson. It was just across the board terrible. But for having a good team and feeling good about your team in the opener and thinking, hey, this is a good chance, and it wasn't even competitive. It was, everything about it was bad. Anything you throw out that I don't usually agree with, the effort, you know, guys quit. I mean, when you look that bad, all that stuff is going to be brought up. Record, some of these numbers were so bad, 43 yards in the first half, that's hard to do. That's hard to do when the worst offense plays the best defense. That's hard to do, 43 yards. 2 of 14 of 23, 114 yards and three turnovers. We're going to get into him in just a second. 1 year, it's been a year since Tyreek Hill has had a 30-plus yard reception. Why are we using him? Let's just play with a bunch of possession guys. Go get yourself a bunch of guys that get open at 10 or 12 yards. What are we doing? We got an explosive guy. We can't use him. So anyway, and I know there's a lot of defenses and they're doing this and that. Well, they're doing a lot of this and that to a lot of other teams too. And they're finding ways to get big plays. Anyway, so all of that. And so I want to brought, this was brought up a couple days ago, and I wanted to, something doesn't look right with Tyreek and Tua. I know they've all said the right things. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to stir something else up. Hey, you know, we're past that. You guys shouldn't even bring it up. Well, you started it. You're the ones that said he got to, you know, win everybody's love back and all that stuff and didn't let it go right away, Tua. So that stuff's that something just, and they're both saying the right things. And Tua, Tyreek, I got to do, you know, I know I'm not a captain, but I got to lead in my own way and lead these guys and be part of this. Mike's right. They all, everybody's saying all the right things, man. The last 6 weeks, I drank the Kool-Aid, man. Guys that I respect and, hey, Joe, give us some time. We're going to be fine. And so, you know, our chemistry, this is the chemistry we need. Well, this is the problem with chemistry and culture. It sounds good in the locker room, but you still got to go out and you got to play and get rid of some other things people are saying about you. Not well coached, not as good as everybody, personnel weak. I thought the backside of the roster was in a little trouble. I did. I go, man, too many guys get hurt this thing. And by the way, I think most people agreed. Probably people in the organization know that too. They see it every day. When they tell the truth themselves, they go, yeah, probably not good enough at those last 20 spots on the 53, probably not what we need.
This goes back to, I've been asking you, what are they telling the owner?
I told you,
do they possibly, are they lying to him?
Well, so he was already told, listen, we're going to get a lot younger, but we still got enough of the key guys
and some of
our young guys that we can win enough games that.
I don't think Chris is an idiot. He must know that they must have known that this was not going to work.
Well, he said they
had a lack of talent.
He said, we've got a lot of young guys going to be on this team, but we still have a makeup with the development of those young guys to have a really, really good team and have a chance to get a playoff spot. Now, Mr. Ross has had a week to see that we're a long way from talking about the playoffs right now after probably the worst team in football. If you go by the games in week one, I've had a chance to watch highlights of all the games and see all the scores, and doesn't take a genius to figure out we lost by 25 and nobody else did in a game that was basically a pick'em game. It wasn't one dominant team playing a team that won four games the year before, and the other team went to Super Bowl. So anyway,
to me is the most painful part of this whole thing is that the owner came out after that last game and was like, we're going to do it again with these guys.
Did.
And it's like now you have another 12 months of this. Of this talk, right? And you just have no direction.
Well,
there's nothing to build off of with this core of guys.
Well, you're doing gloom and doom, and they're saying we just got to play a zillion times better to our best, and we got to beat this Patriots
team.
Where
the hell was that in game one? Where was the fire? And again, that to me was the biggest issue in that game. It's not the fact that you're just not good, but you just don't play with any passion. You don't look like you play for your coach.
All that stuff was,
you are
now the echo of the national media.
How are you going to come out week two all of a sudden and be like, oh, now we're upset?
You're going to find out.
Woke us up now.
Hey, like, Mike thought the last 6 to 8 weeks and all off season and mini camps and OTAs of everybody being there and spending time together and going to movies together and going to grab popcorn together and having a kids night out with the families and all that stuff. You still got to show up and play. And
I'm sick of all that stuff, man. But at some point, like as a professional, you got to hear all that outside crap and just say enough is enough. Right.
Well, so now he's got a different problem because we've played a game that counts. It's no longer the off season. Yeah. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. You just looked as bad as any team Mike's ever had here. It was that bad. And now you have to see how many guys can respond and play really well. I mean, you need a lot of guys to play.
Is that as bad as you've seen since
Mike's been here? Yes.
I mean, not even just Mike, but does that go back to like Cam Cameron bad? Like,
No. I told you. Now I said it before.
All right.
Brian Flores' first two games.
Yeah, but even Brian Flores turned it around and was competitive.
But I'm just telling you, the first two games.
Those guys played for him, though.
Well, we're one game. Woody, I'm just telling you. You're not listening to what I said. Brian Flores, first two games. I don't know where we were outscored. I didn't even look. There was so much negative stuff. I was going to look it up. Somebody can look it up
Baltimore
and tell me.
Like 70.
Baltimore put 50-something, and then the Patriots came down here and put the numbers, and I remember Steve Young coming out.
Some bad matchup.
Steve Young said somebody's going to get hurt. The Dolphins are going to. Those guys going to get hurt. They're so bad. We've got to go to break here, man. We've got all.
Imagine if Baltimore came down here though, for the opener. They went and played Baltimore instead of Indianapolis.
Well, we do
that
play.
Look like
we do play Baltimore down the road down here in town.
I know.
Could you imagine if they
would have played one of those two teams that played on Sunday night to open up the season?
Wouldn't
that,
matter,
that
man.
Thing would have looked like.
It's just it's hard to imagine after the way blood they battle. Threw and able to throw it, run it, make you turn it over three times. I mean, it's hard to imagine if somebody would have said, hey, by the way, Dolphins going into the Colts are going to have 43 yards in the first half. You're going, get out of here. No, I got one better. That's just the start. I'll bet you that the Colts score every time they have the ball. You go, get out of here. There's no way. Daniel Jones, come on. Our front seven, there's no way they're going to run all over us and have that kind of success. It happened. Surprise. Here we go. Week two, man, coming up. We got a lot more stuff to get to here this morning as we continue on, man. I want to say good morning to Harvey Cohen and Gary Juden. I didn't get back to Harvey yesterday. I know he's working on, they got some big cases going on right now, those two. And by the way, they work on those cases by themselves. The partners of Cohen and Juden Injury Law Firm, personal injury attorneys in Plantation. Same partners who will handle your case from start to finish. More than 30 years of experience each. Big enough to go to trial and get you multi-million dollar results. Small enough just to call you back. They think communication is part of this job. They do. They don't just say, leave us alone. We're going to handle your case. We'll call you when we need to get anything out of you. No, no. People are injured. Automobile accident, slip and fall. It's kind of important. You want updates on how your case is going. Well, wait until you hear the compassion and understanding and caring that you're going to get from Gary and Harvey. Besides great results and great communication, this is what these guys are all about. I can't say enough about two of my good friends, Harvey and Gary. And they are passionate and taking that loss very, very hard. But, hey, listen, it's about getting you healthy. If you are currently working with a law firm and you just feel like you're a backup and nobody's talking to you and you're not getting updates on how everything's going, go to CohenandJuden.com, read the reviews, partners who you can always get a hold of, always keep you updated on everything. 866-FAIR-FEE. Check out those reviews, 866-FAIR-FEE. And remember this, they don't pay other lawyers to do the work you hire them to do.
Miami Sports. It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, you know, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say World Wide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, and a good morning to everybody out there. As I got some great news where we're not just sitting here talking about what the hell happened in, down here in that first game. We got a good one. If you're just an NFL fan and just appreciate really good games, like the best therapy for me was getting home and watching a really good game between the Bills and the Ravens. Just unbelievable. Both those quarterbacks, teams bringing, you know, the Bills coming from way behind and end up winning that game when I thought Ravens were going to blow them out there for a while. Anyway, Washington at Green Bay. Tell me how good is that game for Thursday night football. Washington goes to Green Bay, and Green Bay looked real good against the Lions in that first game. And if that's not enough, the Eagles at Kansas City, 4:25 start. It's hard to imagine that the Chiefs could start 0-2. And you're not going, oh, Joe, stop it. Eagles still look pretty good, especially if they can stop spitting and one of their best defensive players or best players on the team is playing. I'm guessing he's got that figured out.
That's a new trend in sports now, though.
The spitting thing, yeah, is big.
Big.
Hey, the other part of this is the Broncos at the Colts. I know you're going, wait, how the hell after all the games? I just saw what the Colts did to the Dolphins. God, that wasn't too long ago. We beat the Broncos. It was a big joke, right, how bad they were. And the Russell Wilson, and they didn't have any money. And they lost
points, right?
Draft picks. Yeah. And we all laughed going, they're going to be bad for a while. Guess what? They're back.
Well, let's see how good their quarterback is here, Joe, well, now that he's in his second go-round.
Well, the Broncos have this really good defense, and it is good.
They struggled in their opener,
though. I want to see
how
they play against the Colts. I think that's going to be an interesting. By the way, that game is at Indy. They start with two games at home. The other one is, I want to say this morning, I want for all Canes fans out there, especially if – you know the players on the team, or if your family member's up early this morning, you got to stop stroking these guys about how good they are, because they got a team coming in here. They are on top of ESPN's upset alert, even though they're a 17.5, 18.5 point, I'm not sure where it is right now, favorite to win this game. I know it's three scores. It's a lot. I don't like it. Don't like it at all. everybody can just say the Gators are really, really bad, and we'll see how they bounce back against LSU on the road. But they lost. No matter what, they lost to South Florida. We can give the Gators 1,000 excuses, but they lost. And that defense gave up 16 points and only 7 to Boise State. Now, I saw it. Boise State didn't look like Boise State from the year before. But I'm just telling you, you come into that thing flat and turn the ball over and get beat and a couple mental breakdowns and miss a couple of tackles or get beat one-on-one deep. And all of a sudden, and they go onside or they do some trick plays and you're not ready for them, like a punter's the quarterback and he throws a pass down the field for 30 yards and keep a drive going when you had them. You just play stupid. And you get a little loose, and you're starting to look ahead to that Gator game already.
There's no way any of that happens, though, right?
What do you mean?
And they're just not going. First of all, to keep calling it an upset is like,
what do you call it?
A stretch. I don't. I know
what 17 and a half points mean to you.
I got you on the spread.
Well, you think Vegas just wanted to mess with everybody?
The spread was similar last week.
I
don't know, man.
Anyway.
But I stopped calling it so much of an upset. I don't think, you know, Miami is going to get caught by surprise by this team.
I would just let you know, Case. And by the way, I'm sure Mario's showing that game from last year where at the half there was a close game. They scored right before the half, if I'm not mistaken, but they were down in that game. Trick
hung
plays
in there in a while for a while in that game.
So anyway, I would just say to everybody, and you know, the guys are around and they're going out there, it's a little more grab ass this week. And you know, the coaches get it. Coaches understand. They know, like, hey man, I know South Florida had 30,000, you know, against Boise State and all this and that, but they don't care. They got a good quarterback. You better tackle him. You think you got him in that pocket. He takes off and runs for 20 yards. All those things, you do everything right, got everybody covered, and he takes off and makes a great play. We're going to find out a lot. I'm going to find out a lot before we get to the Florida game and the Florida State game by how they play against these guys.
And that's why that Florida game is so intriguing too, right? That LSU game, because you actually want to see how bad Florida is, right?
Do
they get trounced in that game?
Florida's going to come back and beat LSU in this game. Florida still got a lot of that talent from last year. Quarterback did not play well in the last game.
Joe, in reality, Florida should have won that game on Saturday.
Yeah. Right?
They had 2 touchdowns taken off due to penalties. The spitting thing certainly didn't help. And it was just like a ton of errors they made in that game.
Hey, and Jamie, I got to ask you, man, as a Florida Gator guy, Coach Napier might have to give up play calling. I know he's the head coach in play calling.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest stories.
Play caller.
It's been one of the biggest stories since he took over in Gainesville, was that he's calling the plays. I think the Dolphins need to take some of those offensive coordinators they got and send them one over to the Gators, because the Gators don't have any offensive coordinators.
Hold on a sec, though. Our guys need to figure a few things out before you decide you want to send to your Gators.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Like,
not exactly.
The numbers are uneven here. You know, you got too many on the Dolphins. You don't have enough on the Gators.
Yeah. Well, we do have a bunch. We could definitely get rid of one guy that's got a coordinator behind his name and nobody would know. You're right to that point. That's a good point. Hey, we got to go to break. That was my teaser, though, man. The Canes, we're going to start playing. We got this alarm. We got to start playing. We got to get an alarm here. Man, I hope those guys go in and take this thing seriously and go, they're 18, but 18, man, we're top 5. And come on, they're coming down to our place.
I wouldn't be so concerned.
You're not concerned. Okay.
I just don't think they're going to get caught by surprise. Maybe a week ago.
I can tell you.
If the Gator thing didn't happen, maybe.
I don't gamble, but if I did gamble, I would take that point spread.
You take the Bulls to cover.
Yes, I would.
Yeah, I don't think Miami's going to blow them out or anything, but I just don't think they're going to get caught off guard.
All right. But hey, listen, you got to hold your thoughts for me,
though, right?
I didn't realize it's almost 7 o'clock here, but we'll come back. We got all that stuff. We jumped in everything a little bit late here, but I do want to talk to you about my good friend, Chevin, the CEO and president of Loctite Impact Windows, Doors, and Roofing. And he's going, hey, man, this is a month we need to get through. Everybody knows that. And I know we talk sports and everything else going on in the world, but we got to get through this month. This is this one in early October. It is hurricane season. I hope you're protecting your home with the best impact windows and doors. And if you need a new roof, I just got an idea for you. If you need to get it done, go to those guys, Loctite Impact Windows, Doors, and Roofing. If you got an old leaky roof, replace your old roof now and pay later. Loctite Impact offers the highest quality roofing materials, a lifetime warranty, plus thousands of five-star reviews. Say big on their legendary state-of-the-art Impact Windows and Doors. Impact Windows as low as $6 per window per month installed. Don't wait for the next storm. Visit LoctiteImpact.com. Again, LoctiteImpact.com or call 954-500-LOCK. They got a professional staff that answers the phone and helps you out, can answer all your questions. Get somebody out there, take a look at everything for you, and get going. Covering all of South Florida, Loctite Impact Windows, Doors, and Roofing.
It's Boomer and Geo, mornings on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
My job is to try to get us to a championship. That's all I care about. Because remember, when they fired Tibbs, what they said in their PR statement that they put out, and that was, we're all about championships, and I'm paraphrasing. We want to win a championship, and the reason we essentially fired the coach is we don't think he can get us there.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.